I don't understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the f*** up. The drive.
Shut his mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Doug Christie will join us at the bottom of the hour. Also, your word of the hour in the 10K day giveaway. Word coming up. Chris Weber had some comments, including some comments on a game he played in that he felt was maybe fixed.
Huh.
See if you can guess which one that is.
And ring a bell.
Dave, Katie, and Nate joining you. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Breaking news from Kingsland. That's not my breaking news. This is breaking news. Wrong button. That was Dramatic Hamster earlier. Kevin McHale, according to sources, has withdrawn from consideration as head coach for the Sacramento Kings.
Not a stunner, right? I mean,
not really.
We knew he was really had no incentive to even come back to coaching unless he's got a guaranteed ring sitting in front of him, right?
Yeah, he's still got 2 years left where Houston is paying him to sit back and buy his time and do whatever the hell he wants. And hey, if there's a great job that comes up that he finds really intriguing, then why not?
This will get spun in some corners as, there's just like the free agents, there's more people turning down the Kings. I don't think that's accurate in this case. I mean, technically, I guess.
Well, when
accurate.
Kevin McHale takes less money to go coach elsewhere,
exactly,
then we can say that.
Yeah.
But
he's not popping up on anyone's radar. You go out, and I don't
blame
him. It's
like alimony. You don't want to necessarily go out and marry the first guy that you meet because, hey, it's going to stop all your payments. You want to make sure it's a good fit and maybe,
play the game
extend
for a second.
It a little bit.
And generally, in most cases, you get another job, then your old pay goes away.
Right.
So in this case, he can sit there and make a nice big chunk of change, getting paid by Houston. And he can go out and golf, spend time with his family, do what he wants. Maybe he's just not ready to come back.
Well, and who does that leave on the Kings list? I know that Vinny Del Negro interviewed, a ton of people. But I saw last night before I went to bed, Mark Stein reported that Vinny Del Negro is also going to be interviewing in Houston. So that's interesting to me. I mean, for the most part, we've all thought that Stan Van Gundy is probably going to be the guy. Jeff Van Gundy is probably going to be the guy. But they're kind of taking the same approach the Kings are. They're interviewing a lot of people, taking their time. You got to get the right fit for, James Harden.
I actually saw it stated yesterday that the Houston was doing a, quote, Sacramento-style search.
Yeah.
So I guess Daryl Morey is now also stupid and has no direction and doesn't know what he's doing.
I saw that too.
I mean, it depends on how deep you want to go into that, because J.B. Bickerstaff has basically said, dude, I'd rather be an assistant somewhere else than coach this dumpster fire.
Yeah.
I'm out.
He withdrew.
I mean, he's not even doing it, and he's interviewing for assistant jobs.
He's I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm good. I want a part of this. I don't want to be a joke.
So those two things together might have you saying, things are a little bit goofy in Houston.
Wanky.
David Blatt.
Wanky. A little wanky.
David Blatt interviewed this week. Patrick Ewing, somebody sent me, I don't know if you guys saw this, somebody tagged me in a Twitter post yesterday. It showed Patrick Ewing getting into a car and like the Arden area or something yesterday. So I guess there's Patrick Paparazzi out there following him around.
He's pretty hard to miss.
Yeah, I would imagine
pretty hard
so.
To miss.
He's a large individual. So you have him, and then you've got the Hornacek's and the Mark Jackson's, the Torrey Messina is supposed to happen this week.
Well, and a new name entered the list last night. I don't know. Did you watch the post game on TNT last night?
A little bit of
apparently
it.
Shaq is now also going to be interviewing.
Is
with
he?
The big fella.
That's so funny. They were joking around about, Kenny Smith potentially interviewing for the Houston job. And that was kind of an awkward interaction in and of itself because of how he answered the question. Mm-hmm. So I was like, but then, they're like, and Shaq's going to take the Kings job. And Charles Barkley chimes in and says, Shaq, if you take the Kings job, I'm going to go and start working the sidelines there. I picked up my phone and I text Charles and I was like, really, you're coming for my job?
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see what just happened?
Little name dropper
that
little there.
Name, I mean, that's fine.
No, I mean,
she's
I've
in the circles.
I've known him forever.
I know.
And we used to get penalty points
like,
for
hell
name
yeah.
dropping.
Be a red card.
Just so you know.
Is there a way she could...
Give me a penalty.
Because that's
care.
Germane to the story. Is there a way she could have done that without getting a penalty? I feel like that's almost not fair. Could she have somehow communicated...
Was the whole point of the story to say that I made sure Chuck ain't coming for my job personally?
I think so. I think she's saying...
There's ways that I could do that.
I mean, that's a big deal. Somebody on our show... Her job was threatened by Charles Barkley on TNT yesterday. So she's got to communicate that. But I don't know how she could have done that without making it as part of the story that she texted Charles Barkley.
Oh, who said I didn't? Maybe it's a DM. You don't know.
I slid
into the DM.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, no, I've known him forever. I used to work on a sports talk radio show with why do I keep calling him Shaq? With Chuck in Phoenix. So I've known him for a really long time. So come on.
I would
think
love,
he's from San Antonio.
I'd love the idea of Shaq and Charles
rude.
Teaming
sorry.
Up.
Almost blew my coffee straight into our new mic.
Uncalled for. Sorry, dude.
Shaq is not a bad choice if you can like if he can do half the job he's done as an owner and a mentor to DeMarcus Cousins.
I don't know what that
are
is.
You being
I mean,
serious
can you
right
be...
now?
What do you think?
Probably
dude,
not.
Your face
is this another one of those Cinco de Mayo
yes,
facts?
Yes, it is.
Come on. What do you think I'm being serious for?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. Like, you drop enough Kings information but, that I would have no way of substantiating
right.
exactly
Let's,
like that.
I thought that was like...
If you were to say, like, hey, Shaq's been a pretty big mentor to DeMarcus, my response would be, well, maybe you say that, but why?
Okay, right? All right. My fault then. No, I don't
Jerk.
Know of a single freaking thing
Seriously,
he's done. And seeing Shaq courtside in Kings purple, like, throughout the season was also awesome. Oh, wait, no, that never happened. I've never been a fan of Shaq being an owner. Never, ever. I don't like it. I think it's dumb.
I think there's another guy that maybe wasn't a huge fan of that happening as well.
There's probably a couple of them that were.
I actually think we have some sound from him.
Do we now? Look at you. How about this? How about has Chris Webber ever played in a game he felt was fixed? Yes, he has. Chris also letting me know that, hey, it helps to hear me when you unmute your computer. Here's Chris Webber.
I played one game in which, yes, something smelled very weird about the whole situation. But
like
I didn't
oil.
Think that was the NBA and technicals and things like that. I never thought the NBA was purposely out to get me or purposely to make our team lose or purposely stay within the spread. Never felt that way.
Text line from 441140. Please tell me if this is true because it's from the 209, so I always – kind of double check here. Sorry, 209ers. Shaq called it the Queen's job on TNT.
I can't confirm.
I doubt it.
I need that like triple sourced if I'm going to buy that. I cannot imagine that happening.
I ran it back because I got into the part where they were talking about it. Like, you know, I was channel searching, going back and forth. So I ran it back and re-listened to it, and I didn't hear that.
Did one of the other guys say that, giving him a hard time?
No, I don't think so.
Well, here's Tim Donaghy talking about if NBA officials gamble.
100%. Absolutely. I mean, when I was there and David Stern did his investigation, he said legal gambling will cost you your job. Illegal gambling will cost you your freedom. And then they did an investigation and found out 58 out of the 60 NBA referees gambled in some way, shape, or form, and they changed the rules. So now basically they're allowed to gamble.
Well, he said 58.
Yeah, but gamble on what? That's kind of vague, is it not? What
that if they're a doofus.
What if they're gambling on the ponies?
Dude, I gamble with my life every day that I drive my truck to work.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't even want to hear this guy's voice.
Not really, because it's super safe.
You're darn right it is. Hobbit 7
Dodge.
Minutes from the airport in Woodland.
No, but, I don't even want to hear him talk about this ever.
You want to have him put a percentage on
it? Do NBA officials gamble? Are there any of them that gamble? Forget the NBA, just gamble. What would you say the percentage is?
100%.
Now, hold on. You just said 60 to 70%. By the way, thanks to Colin Cowherd for that clip there. But seriously, he said 60.
That guy is a garbage human being. Not a single word that he says can be believed at all, ever. And, I mean, unfortunately, we'd love to be able to stick with that and say, like, yeah, of course the NBA disavows all knowledge of Tim Donaghy. Well, you know what? Like, the guy's kind of done it to himself.
Speaking of Donaghy, and Chris Webber got, again, very loose yesterday. And this was in response in a lot of cases, too, and most of the interview, to the end of the Oklahoma City game when he was all over the place.
That's an offensive foul!
Chris Webber talks about Tim Donaghy.
I hope the NBA embraces the fact that it's still exciting. Even the controversy, even this, we're talking about it. And as long as the fans know, hey, guys are missing calls, it's not. And I do think, yeah, believe me, it's a lot about Donahue I would like to talk about. I do think a lot of it is from that time. But hopefully we just keep the fans' trust, which we do, which is why I think the NBA wants to be transparent and say at the end of games that they missed the call.
What do you think would happen if Chris Webber just happened to run into Donahue? I don't know, walk into a bar or in Vegas at Summerlin. What
nothing
would happen?
Because Chris is a two-faced phony, so he'd smile at him and shake his hand.
There you go. 7:13 and 50 seconds. There's your promo for next week. Write it down, please. I think they'd kiss. That's personally, I actually think they'd I think they'd kiss. Open mouth. Yes. 100%.
Or would it be one of those awkward open mouth ones where nothing happens? Just, it's just your mouth is
like
open.
Like a soap opera kiss. We'll take a break when we come back. All right, let's revisit this whole thing. Kevin McHale withdraws from the Kings coaching search, according to sources, one of those being Mark Stein of ESPN. We'll tell you what that means and where the shrapnel is left now in the Kings coaching search. It's blown wide open. Not really. It's The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, Cinco de Mayo, and Matt's stumping me. Should I know who this is?
I have no idea what
is this
is.
Random? Okay, I got you.
It's catchy, though.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. I was sad I missed it.
I like your dance.
Thank you.
May the 4th be with you yesterday.
Forgot to bring maracas.
All right, so we've been playing a fun game with Katie all day because she does not, like many, does not know the true meaning of Cinco de Mayo.
And you know what? I've stayed true to the fact that I saw something from USA Today on the old Twitter machine.
And you did not
And look. I did not click on it, but I was like,
So every hour I will read off what the meaning of Cinco de Mayo is. And Katie, when you feel like you found it or it's garbage, you just let me know. So Here we go. In 1778, United States President Abraham Lincoln presented Mexican
garbage.
President... What?
It's garbage.
Why?
Because it's garbage.
Because Abraham Lincoln didn't exist.
Cinco de Mayo did not exist when Abraham Lincoln was...
I'm just making a joke about Abraham Lincoln for crying out loud.
Of course, that was the... I had a whole thing. Presented Guillermo Sanchez, the Mexican president, with the Lady of Libertad, the original idea for our very own Statue of Liberty from France... to President Guillermo Sanchez to be displayed in Mexico City for all time in commemoration of Mexico's help in the Revolutionary War by blocking the English ships at
Yorktown.
You're
really good at reading, though.
See, you say no to that.
So
I didn't think
no?
I blew you up, Dave. I'm sorry. I just was trying to go with the joke.
I mean, that was the whole thing. I gambled a little bit by putting Abraham Lincoln in 1778.
No.
I gambled. I lost.
Abraham Lincoln in 1778.
Yeah, that happened.
That is not the true meaning of Cinco de Mayo. But at some point today, we will. We will educate you as to what we did on Mount Rushmore, by the way, of our favorite Mexican foods earlier. It was enchiladas, tacos, chili rellenos. And then, Nate, I think you threw chorizo on there.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Just as a general meat product. Do you guys know exactly how old Abraham Lincoln was in 1778?
Negative. Hold on. Let me guess. Was he not born yet?
Yeah, negative 31.
Yeah, he was wasn't not born yet.
You said, what about huevos rancheros? I'll tell you, something I don't like. I just don't like runny egg and stuff.
No, I don't either.
I'm not a huge fan at all.
I do.
Okay. I can do like the lame version with scrambled eggs, but you know, then it's just basically an open-faced breakfast burrito.
So?
No room for guacamole, people have been putting out there. No room for...
Because it's an appetizer. It's like something you put on something.
If we're doing
now, granted, I can eat it as a meal.
Sure.
Doesn't mean that that's how it's meant to be.
I'll tell you right now, when we do our Filipino Mount Rushmore Filipino food, I'm putting lumpia at number one. And lumpia, that's an appetizer.
You're lumpia. That's why you need to go to Dr. Jack.
There's nothing wrong with lumpia. We said before the break, Kevin McHale has...
Jack.
Yeah, Dr. Jack with the laser lipo.
Jack.
You're thinking Kevorkian. Uh-huh. No, different one. Much different. Said before the break, Kevin McHale is withdrawn from consideration. Be the second
The old withdrawal method.
Completely unrelated news here coming up at 8 a.m. Larry Bird is having a press conference.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have anything to do with that at all. Disappointing. But, you know, I give credit to Sam Amick for, you know, putting a pin in that balloon for us a couple of days ago. We kind of had a couple of days to come down and realize Kevin McHale's not going to be the guy here in Sacramento.
I would, if it turned out, because we talked before the break, well, if he takes another coaching job, well, then it'll be kind of insulting. But as of right now, he might just want to play golf, blah, blah, blah. If you're Kevin McHale and you have a choice between coming out to Sacramento and taking this job or going to Indiana, which is a current playoff team.
No brainer.
And working, oh, by the way, under Larry Bird, who I believe he knows.
Well, and
with an MVP candidate that's won a playoff series.
Sure, there's that guy.
And the one thing that Indiana needs, they've got the defense mm-hmm. on lock. They really need offense.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's a no-brainer.
Yep.
I don't take that as an insult to the Kings organization.
No.
That's just kind of, the old big league hang with them, right? It's like, yeah, do better, guys. You'll be all right.
So many of how guys land jobs in the NBA, and I'm talking from everything from head coaches to assistants, it's about who you know and the relationships that you've built over the years.
Sure.
And I don't know, Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, they might have a pretty solid relationship, you think? A little bit of history?
A little bit. They played a couple games together. So here's the question now when we go with the Kings timeline is it's either... It's very likely that they could have a head coach by this Monday if you follow the timeline. Now, we said yesterday, well, maybe not. Maybe they're either going to have a head coach in the next 3 to 4 days or it's going to be a couple weeks because everybody leaves for Chicago, the pre-draft camp. That's where it's all going on. Nobody's in. You know, there may be some discussions and maybe there's some interviews during the pre-draft camp, but that's what they're focused on. Should the Kings have their coach by pre-draft camp? Or do you care?
By pre-draft camp?
The,
yes.
The pre-draft camp in Chicago.
Yes. How far away is that?
That's next Tuesday.
Oh, next Tuesday. You know what?
You mean like a week from 2 days ago?
Yes.
It would be, yes, I think it would be very nice, but I don't want them to make any
That's
hasty
my question.
Decisions.
That's my question. So you have to wonder, has Vlade already found, does he already know who he wants? And with McHale, the idea was, which could have been garbage. This is what I love about the new Kings regime. They're not leaking anything. So we don't know that McHale was the number one choice. We think he was. We don't know that. But now that McHale's out of the picture, assuming he was the number one choice, now you have to wonder, well, who's left? Mark Jackson, Ettore Messina, James Borrego, Jeff Hornacek, I believe, has not been interviewed yet. He's interviewed everyone else. So has he already interviewed the head coach? And if that's the case, the two most prominent names on that list I can think of that he's interviewed most likely would be Vinny Del Negro and Mike Woodson, who's my guess. So then.
That's your guess?
That's my guess.
Well, if they let him go, how quickly do you call Frank Vogel? Are any of those names to you better than Vogel?
Because it's kind of like the opposite situation where what the Kings really need to figure out is how to defend mm-hmm. the basketball.
And here's something to consider with him. When Paul George was down. First off, in the time that Frank Vogel has been with the Pacers, the game has evolved so much that Roy Hibbert became an unplayable player.
Yeah.
Right? So they had to trade his ass. They still have managed to make the playoffs this whole time. All right? They bring in Monte Ellis and are still like the third best defense in the league. You had a top five defense that's anchored by Monte Ellis. That means you've done something. All right? The guy might stink a little bit on defense, might not have completely mastered subs and rotations. Get him a good assistant.
By the way,
get someone in here that understands defense.
You mentioned Paul George is pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly. Last year, the Pacers tied with the Brooklyn Nets, lost off the tiebreaker. Now, granted, it was at 38-44, but they tied for the eighth spot. And then my point is, Vogel still had them sniffing playoffs. Mm-hmm. Granted, in the Eastern Conference, losing their beyond a doubt number one superstar.
Mm-hmm.
So Vogel becomes almost like the anti-Carl. Here's a guy that's going to come in and do nothing but try to lock down defense, whereas Carl was Mr. Offense. So do you, in fact, wait on him? I would imagine if he gets fired today, which is expected in about a half an hour from now, if that does happen, I would expect that he'd get an interview. But then the question again becomes, because of the timeline, do you have a coach ready to go?
I told you.
Okay.
You know what? It's the pre-draft workouts. It's like the combine, right, is what you're
sure.
talking about.
Yep.
But here's the thing. You definitely have to have someone by the time you start bringing guys in before the draft, and that's a ways off. So you think, okay, the lottery is May 17th. I would really expect them to have a head coaching, a head coach named and the position filled by then. But the combine, really, I don't know if it really matters. I really don't know.
We'll get your choices. I want to hear from the two of you, who you think and who you want coming up. We'll go over those candidates before we talk to Doug Christie at 7:40. It's The Drive. It's Sports 1140 KHDK.
Beetlejuice, right? Winona Ryder?
Yeah, this is is this really Harry Belafonte?
I think it is. Should be, but it always makes me think of Beetlejuice.
It's a great song.
Am I the only one that had a crush on Winona Ryder in that movie?
No, okay. No, not at all.
I definitely didn't.
Once upon a time.
But you had a crush on Michael Keaton in that movie.
Of course.
Michael Keaton.
Or the dude with the small head.
Why am I blanking? It was Gina Davis, Winona Ryder.
Alec Baldwin,
thank you.
I know.
It looks so different.
So different.
Because I had the picture of his face in my head from Beetlejuice. I'm like, oh, I know who that is. He looks familiar.
About 75 pounds lighter.
Oh, Alec Baldwin.
He's such a jerk, but like he's such a boss, too.
No, he's a total boss. The Sacramento Rivercats. Excuse me. The Sacramento. I'm doing 10 things at once. Sacramento Republic play their home games at Bonnie
Stadium.
Field.
What?
Field.
Yeah, Field is absolutely correct. Congratulations, and thank you, Katie, for helping out. Field is your.
Yay.
That's your word of the hour here. Check it out. Text in Field.
Not as in cop to field.
Cop. No. See, that's with the. That's FWC. Now you're gonna get people texting Field.
Field.
Into 44 1140. Text Field into 807-87. And know this: if you text it into 44 1140, you're immediately disqualified for the entire contest. Probably not true, but I wish it was.
I wonder if people are doing it just to kind of
they are
you know jab us, or if they really can't follow instructions.
Here's the deal: you're disqualified from procreation.
Thank you. Yeah, 100% correct. 807-87 Field, or enter online at khk.com. By the end of the hour, message and data rates may apply. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. One randomly selected contestant. Oh, you could win $25,000 with the grand prize. You're entered there as well. So that's a fine contest, and we'll have one more word for you in the next hour. Doug Christie joining us in a couple minutes. Reports saying, well, first off, we know Larry Bird's going to have a press conference at 8 a.m. our time.
Assuming, just a coincidence, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
So here's what we have this morning. We have Kevin McHale withdrawing, according to reports, from the Sacramento Kings coaching job.
Use another word.
I don't know if he was ever really drawn in. Okay. That's the thing. It's like a whatever. You have Larry
Was
Bird.
It like a stop calling me thing?
Right. Was that or
did he maybe, blocked their call? Did
it, yeah, it blocked the call.
Or did Vlade like text, did he text him once and be like, hey, what do you think? And Kevin McHale's like, eh. It's like, all right, I'll get back to you, bro. That's it. That was the whole search right there with Kevin McHale. We don't know.
Because I see exactly how this went down. Vlade probably texted him and was like, hey, man, how you doing? Any interest in this job? And Kevin McHale did the, oh, man, things are going great. Just enjoying my retirement. Completely ignore the second part of the question.
That's it.
And never get back to it.
It's like when your parents
ask
you to do something.
It's like when your ex tries to text you. It's like, oh, how you doing? Oh, by the way, I miss you. I'm great. I hope you're well.
Yeah, exactly.
From the 916, Feel.
No.
Thanks for that.
Also, field myself this morning before I came to work. That's not the one.
From the 916, birthday shout out to Sachi. It's his 25th. Nope. We don't do birthday shout outs. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I did Satch. Right there. Here's the thing. McHale out. Larry Bird have the press conference in about 20 minutes from now. Everyone's pointing to the fact he's going to fire Frank Vogel. Here's a report. If Frank Vogel's getting fired today, apparently, according again to those vaunted sources, he's unaware of it.
Of course he is.
Well, it's kind of like Byron Scott saying on a, I think it was a radio show yesterday, he was blindsided by the Lakers dismissing him.
You're the only one, Byron.
I thought we were on the same page. He said that this was going to take a few years for us to get back on track. He said, I had to develop young guys. Oh, and by the way, also handle the Kobe farewell tour, which, you know, was announced in November, but it sounds like they must have known about it before that. I don't know. Maybe they have a little crystal ball. That was a stretch, right? And so, yeah, he's like, I was blindsided by it.
The league source.
Is he just stupid?
One person.
Or maybe he felt that way. Maybe he truly felt that. Maybe he's confident. League source, by the way, are telling Chris Mannix that Frank Vogel has no idea he's going to get fired, if in fact he's going to get fired today. So that makes it feel any better.
It doesn't.
Here's a guy who's not going to get fired because he does such a damn bang-up job for CSN, third man in the booth, anything he tries to do in life. It's our good friend Doug Christie. Doug, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Appreciate you joining us this morning. How are you?
Hey, go, Dave Mario. Yay!
See?
You know what? Doug, This is what I love about you, all right? No matter what time or what you're doing, you always bring enthusiasm in truckloads.
Hey, well, speaking of a truck, I am in the truck right now, and I'm headed to a workout, so I better be enthusiastic because it's time to get busy.
Doug, I feel, when I look at you, Doug, I maybe I'm wrong here, but I get this idea in my head that you're like the cleanest living dude in the world. Like, you work out, you take complete care of your body, and I'll bet you, I'm just curious, I'll bet you eat like I wish I could eat. For example, if you haven't had it yet, or
anything
if you're
with vegetables.
Well, just I'm curious, Doug Christie, what's for breakfast this morning?
I'm going to stop at Whole Foods and grab me a Seafoam green juice with some beets in it, orange juice, and, you know, I might grab a blueberry muffin or something like that. That's usually how I get down. But, you know, like if I eat chocolate, Dave, I eat dark chocolate from Whole Foods. So, I have that and, you know, a glass of wine or something. But I don't step way outside the box anymore.
Well, and that also, let's just make sure we're not fluking here. What was for dinner last night?
What did we have for dinner? Actually, last night we had hamburger and french fries.
Hey! I also had a hamburger last
night. It was homemade, you know, a little white ground turkey.
We're excited for you, and then you lost us.
I cook my fries in olive oil. You know, I do my best, man. I'm trying to hang out a little bit, Dave.
Doug, I love you.
I'll be 46 in a couple days.
I appreciate you trying. Does turkey qualify as a hamburger? I mean,
no.
It's kind of, hey, you're trying. That's you living loose. I appreciate that.
No doubt.
All right, Doug, there's so much going on in terms of the Kings head coaching search right now and the playoffs. So I want to get your thoughts on the head coaching search right now. Here's the thing. You get so many people saying, like, oh, they're interviewing so many people. They don't know what they're doing. Isn't that kind of what you want to see at this point?
Hey, I mean, you don't want to leave a stone unturned. You don't know who's going to come in there and blow your socks off. I think if we look back, guys, at Jason Kidd, who went in and interviewed for the Brooklyn job, and they had no idea that he was probably going to be their head coach, but they impressed him, and it looks like Jason Kidd is a really good coach. So you got to go and you got to search everywhere. You got to look and see who's going to fit. And yeah, I think that you interview everybody who you think is a candidate and a possibility. I agree.
Well, Doug, I mean, short of asking you to give us a name, I won't do that. But if you were the guy conducting the interview, what would you want to hear? What would turn you on from a prospective coach of the Kings?
What would turn me on? Like, wow. Way too early in the morning for that one. Okay. So, you know, I want to hear somebody who is going to be like in philosophy. I think the Kings need a teacher, someone who is going to be able to teach the game of basketball. And when I say the game of basketball, I'm talking about the fundamentals. I think you're going to need a good game manager and someone who is going to build a quality staff. Because one thing, this is just my opinion, is sometimes you can't be afraid to not be the smartest guy in the room sometimes. And if you're leading somebody, you want to have good people behind you, because that's the sign of a leader who is willing to grab people and bring them on board to, you know, make sure that every single slot is full. So that means your assistant coaching staff, everybody. So I need someone who's a teacher, someone who is going to, you know, motivate and inspire guys. So that's kind of what I'd be looking for.
Doug, I think one of the most important things for the Kings to do this offseason is really decide on and embrace a philosophy. I know that they wanted offense so badly, but offense doesn't get you very far if you don't play any defense whatsoever. So when you look at kind of the core pieces of this roster, is there a style that you think will fit this team the best? And if so, what is it?
Well, I think that when you look, for instance, at San Antonio, I think that they have a style like Golden State style is really, you know, that is, it's beautiful, it's fantastic. But I think if there's any maybe blip in their style is the fact that they really can't play inside-outside basketball. And I think that when you got a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, you have to work with what you have. And one of the things that you have is you got a guy who can dominate on the inside. But at the same time, I think that you have to embrace body movement and the movement of the ball. That is just not only is that where basketball is going, that's freaking basketball. And if you don't play that, you're not going to be very successful. At the same time, you also have to get people who can stroke the ball from the outside. That is going to be absolutely big time going forward because it is where basketball is at. So style-wise, I like to see something like what we see in San Antonio. You got people that move the ball. You got people to shoot the ball. But now they've come back. You put LaMarcus Aldridge back inside. So you have someone that can go from inside out. Okay.
So, Doug, a follow-up on that is that Messina is a guy that we've heard his name a lot in regards to the position. And he's, you know, in the Sacramento Kings. And he is one of the descendants of Greg Popovich. Is that someone that you think maybe could do that here?
Yeah, I do. I don't know Messina that well. I've watched him, and I like his demeanor. He's, you know, I think, is he Italian?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think his suit says that all day. I like him. I when you come from the Popovich lineage, you are going to be well organized. You're going to understand how to teach basketball. I think you're going to understand how to communicate. But at the same time, I don't think you're probably going to take any crap either. So those are the type of things that I think that you look for in a coach. Is it going to be, and this is where I think that it's going to be big time, because this person is going to have to get along with Vlade, make sure that that's really not hard to do, by the way, be on the same page, all those type of things. It just has to happen, because that's been, I think, one of the dysfunctions, is the dysfunction between the general manager and the coach as of late with the Sacramento Kings.
Doug Christie joining us on KHDK. Doug, this is a question that's been kind of controversial throughout this coaching search. I'm curious where you come across. If you're Vlade Divac and you are planning on starting the year with DeMarcus Cousins as your franchise centerpiece, do you have any conversations with him throughout the search? Do you want him to give you his opinion? Not necessarily pick the coach, but do you want to know what he thinks? Or are you sitting there saying, you know what, screw it, I'm hiring the coach that's best for the team. You either adapt or we'll make a move.
Man, that's a tough one. I think you kind of have to, this has to be Vlade. He has to set the tone and set the precedence. I think DeMarcus Cousins is a dynamic enough talent that he can freaking fit in wherever you put him, as long as attitudinal-wise he's willing to do that. And when you look at him, for instance, for USA Basketball, and he goes with Coach K, that's a total different philosophy. It's a total different environment. And boy, did he ever fit in, and he fit in just glowingly. So I think this is Vlade setting the table, and everyone got to step up to the table, put their napkin on, and eat properly. Use your fork, you know, use your knife. If you got a freaking soup spoon and soup is served, you better use it, okay? I'm just saying.
Doug, you brought up the Spurs, the Torrey Messina, Greg Popovich, the whole deal. When you win game one by such a large margin, for Oklahoma City to come back and get game two on the road, what does that do for Oklahoma City to kind of relieve the pressure? I mean, if you're doing an aggregate score, they're still down 35 or something silly like that. But point is, now you get a go home, you got the series split.
You know, I think OKC understands that their confidence wasn't shaken in the first game. And I thought that that's what the second game kind of was indicative of, was, look, you know, we're not scared of you guys. Yeah, you came out, you did your thing, you punched us in the mouth, but we're going to come back and we're going to be ultra aggressive. So probably on a couple standpoints, one is the superstars, and they're the Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. That was never shaken. But I think, probably for Billy Donovan, their coach, it's probably even bigger, because that was his first playoff game, and boy, did he ever get smacked in the head. But he comes back, and he's able to adjust. And I don't know how much of it was his adjustment or, hey, Russell, hey, KD, do what you do. And they just did it better. But this is scary for the Spurs because this is a team that beat them previously in the Western Conference Finals, and then they came back, the Spurs did, and they beat them. So it's kind of like 1-1. They know each other, but KD and Russell Westbrook, man, are not to be played with. Those are two guys that if they get it going, you know, they can beat anybody. I mean, not just the Spurs. They could beat the Warriors. They could beat Cleveland. Big time, I think, more – for Billy Donovan and anybody else.
The legend Doug Christie joining us on KHDK. Doug, last night, Cavs, Hawks. Cavs break the record for three-pointers. They destroy the Hawks by 25, and it wasn't that close. After the game, Charles Barkley reacting to the Cavs shooting threes in the fourth quarter, even though they pulled their starters. He said, hey, listen, man, you got to take someone out. You have to take someone out in this game. Not injure them, but you got to take someone out. And that caused a lot of stir and a lot of conversation. Barkley saying, you got to do it to send a message for game three. Your thoughts on that? You're on the Hawks last night. You got the Cavs going for that record and extending it in a blowout. Are you taking someone out?
Katie and I talk about this all the time. I'm sure she already knows what I'm going to say. You're damn right. You run right through somebody. You shoot a three-pointer, he ends up eating some popcorn in the front row. And it's not in a bad way. I mean, it's part of the game, you know. And in baseball, you throw it, my guy, throw it, your guy. It's not even really a big deal. It's just the NBA has gotten, you know, extremely soft with all the rule changes and different things, so people are up in arms, and I don't really know why you're up in arms. I mean, you're not just going to keep punching me in the mouth. I don't know who the hell you think you are, but that is just not even going to happen. And if you're going to allow yourself to keep getting punched in the mouth, you're going to come over here and sit by me. It only has to happen one time. You know, it's a hard foul. You go up and shoot it, and I contest, and oops. My fault. I stopped a little bit farther than I should have. You know, I stopped in the first row, and as I went there, I had to go through you to get there. Not a big deal at all. I think probably bigger was Charles Oakley's comments, letting everybody know that he is not the – and you do not play with Oak, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. So, Doug, you know, as I'm going to bed last night, I see this thing on Twitter by, I think it was like Fox Sports or whatever. And the headline on this article is that the Spurs and the Warriors should take notice after, you know, of course, the Cavs hit 25 three-pointers. And we know that David Blatt being fired was kind of a thing where they wanted to move more towards that free-flowing offense. And then you see them play against the Hawks the way they do last night. Do you really think that they've embraced this system and are equipped enough to execute it in a seven-game series against the Warriors or the Spurs?
No. They obviously they have the talent, and the problem is the level of efficiency and consistency that you're going to see from San Antonio, and you're definitely going to see from Golden State, because ultimately last year when Barkley was talking about it, saying a three-point shooting team can't win a championship, it just hadn't been done because no one has shot the ball at that type of level until them. Now, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, those guys can shoot the ball, but they've just been too sporadic with it. If they can shoot at that level, which we saw them shoot last night, I'm going to go to guess that they go to Atlanta and they probably make 10 or 11, you know, as opposed to 25. If they can hit at that level, yeah, they can compete because they have LeBron James, and he is a point guard in a power forward's body.
Doug, last thing for you. We were talking earlier about J.R. Smith. You bring him up, and we were talking about how when he was in New York, he drove around a tank that he spent $450,000 on. We started out the interview talking about how healthy and well you are, and you got a great head on your shoulders. Did you ever buy anything really, really, really stupid when you got in the NBA?
I don't know that I buy anything stupid. I did buy a Hummer, but it was awesome. It was the safest vehicle of all time. I rather enjoyed it till the transmission went out, probably because you don't drive a Hummer 80, and I was driving 80. but if I feel safe, I'm gonna go faster than I probably should on the freeway.
True.
But no, I didn't. I don't think that I stepped outside the box and bought anything. That right there, a tank, $400,000 tank. I mean, I guess you know you pay for security, ladies and gentlemen.
See, that's what we were reading the article. You never got like a tiger cub. You never had a giant aquarium. I mean, they were going through the list of like the worst buys for athletes in all the sports, and tiger cub and giant aquarium.
Nah, my kids had goldfish and I had a pit bull. I mean, what do you want? you know, I spoiled my pit bull. He chipped his tooth. I put a cap on it, a silver cap. And, you know, does that qualify? Am
yes,
I qualified?
That is extreme. That is extreme, Doug. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Doug, you're the man. Thank you, brother.
Anytime, guys. Go Kings.
Go Kings.
Have a good workout.
He's the best. He's the absolute best. We will take a break when we come back. Let's clean up the rest of this Chris Webber sound we have for you, him talking yesterday. Also, Larry Bird set to have a press conference here in just minutes. Again, reports, this is Chris Mannix now. Frank Vogel not aware if he's going to get fired. If he is, he's not aware of it. But Vogel apparently, as of 5 minutes ago, not in the building. Nate McMillan is in the building.
Ooh.
So, yeah, we'll see what that means. We'll cover all that next. It is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.